The Ombudsman for Children, Niall Muldoon, says maternity hospitals should record how many babies are born with disabilities so the state can plan support for those children from day one. In the first of our three-part series on disability services, our social affairs correspondent Alva Keneally reports on the difficulties parents of neurodivergent and disabled children face in getting access to services.
All of my children, including my gorgeous Max is here beside us, are autistic. And I suppose the difference between myself and, say, potentially many other families is that I'm also autistic myself. Okay. So the only, I always say, my long-suffering husband, the only person in our house that isn't autistic is my husband.
As a parent of four neurodivergent children aged between 17 and 8, Amanda McGuinness has spent almost two decades learning and educating herself about autism and intellectual disabilities. It all began 16 years ago when she walked into Mayo General Hospital with her baby Connor and refused to leave.
I said, you can arrest me or get the Gardaí to come in and arrest me, but I won't leave the hospital until you can please just tell me what it is that's different about him. I can see he's different. He's struggling with sleeping. He's struggling with, he wasn't meeting, say, different milestones. They then admitted him to the baby wards. It was unusual in that at the time he would have been the youngest child ever in County Mayo identified or diagnosed as autistic. So he was diagnosed before he was one, which would have been unheard of. Probably, maybe now, maybe not, but back 15, 16 years ago, it was unheard of. Now I was suddenly put into a world that I didn't really, this sounds really, I feel really ignorant saying it, but I didn't actually realise the pain and the suffering and the segregation that many families like my own would experience. I was to learn it very quickly, but I didn't know about it until my gorgeous Connor was born.
And so began Amanda's fight for services.
We had direct contact with a local service provider that was here at the time, but that just faded away. I think it was Progressing Disabilities when that came in, so it faded away. Whereas what I see now is you have a diagnosis and then you're just left adrift, or you're left adrift but you're not really supported to see your child potentially as the incredible human beings that they are, you know, because you're so under pressure. So you should be provided with the supports. You shouldn't have to be hopeful to get to school. You shouldn't be hopeful to get supports. You shouldn't be the person that has to shout the loudest. Like, nobody has the energy. I'm exhausted.
To alleviate the exhaustion that she and countless other parents experience, Amanda believes a plan should be put in place for children.
I'm a parent that is, as I would say, so long on the road. But there's families starting out that don't even know where. I've unfortunately kind of learned the hard way all the way, and I'm going to learn again as he becomes an adult, because I have to learn the hard way and learn the services and supports if there are any available at that point. But shouldn't there be an advocacy service, a children's advocacy service? Because I know we have it for adults. Why can't we have it for families, that the day you find out that your child, or you're told your child has a disability, that you're now going, you have someone to catch you before the fall. And the fall is that you try your best, but eventually, I always say, I try my best all the time, but I do find now as I get older, I'm faltering.
About 10% of all our complaints come in around disability, and it's everything from the day they're born to the supports they get as they grow up, to the lack of education, school places, CDNTs, the Child Disability Network teams, the lack of access there, assessment of needs. There's a whole range of issues that come into us.
The Ombudsman for Children, Niall Muldoon, has identified one step that could be taken to help plan services for children.
One of the things I've been saying from the very start that I came into this office was the idea that many children are born with a disability that will not change over their lifetime. And we need to be tracking that from the start. We need to provide them as a state with a service that says, we know you're disabled, therefore you're going to need X, Y and Z through your lifetime. We're going to facilitate you with that. You should be able to come to us and say, I need a wheelchair next month, or I need to adjust my house, or I need to adjust my car. And we should be able to facilitate that, because those are known entities. And we have never gone down that route. We're still not even sure how many children are born with a disability coming out of the maternity hospital. That should be easily done. That sort of data should be easily sorted out so that we can adjust and financially prepare for it.
CEO of Inclusion Ireland, Dervil McDonough, agrees that the early years are key.
When a family discovers that their child has a disability, what happens in that moment? Often they're left without any kind of real information. They're left to Google things online to figure out access to services and supports. So they're left really in a limbo while they're on waiting lists. And we really need to see a shift in thinking in those early years so that families are building their resilience, are understanding, yes, my child is disabled, but here are some of the services services and supports I can access. Here are some of the things I can do in the here and now to help and support my child. But unfortunately, as we always say at Inclusion Ireland, it's not the children that are complex, it's the systems that they are battling every single day that are complex. So if you have to work across mental health services, children's disability network teams, and try to fight for a school place, that is exhausting for children and families.
The government published a human rights strategy for disabled people a month ago. It promises a quality, accessible, equitable and timely service for all disabled children and their families by 2030. But government strategies are abstract to parents like Amanda, who live in fear about what the future holds for their children.
All across society, we're all buckling under the pressure, but at the backbone of it all is the parent trying to navigate the world for their children. It's not a nice thing for a parent to say, you know, I hope I outlive my kids, but I do hope that in a way, because I'm afraid for what will come next. You know, I think of, you know, all the lovely families like all across of Ireland that say don't have children with disabilities. They get to go in and give them a kiss goodnight, and they get sweet, sweet dreams. Have your dreams. When I, sorry, I feel like crying. When I think about my gorgeous kids and I say sweet dreams, I just always say, oh God, I can't, how do I tell them? I don't know if you'll have the opportunities because, sorry, there aren't the supports there for them, if that makes sense.
Amanda McGuinness, and in that report by Alva Keneally. Well, tomorrow Alva will be looking at the issue of older parents caring for adult sons and daughters at home due to a lack of residential places.